The Lord's presence and spirit is with us as we gather in his name. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writing, said, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his own good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your ancient words that are ever true, ever living, because your word is eternal. Your word is life-changing. Your word is breathed into very existence by your Holy Spirit and continues, Lord, to speak to us even today. So, Lord, I pray that you would quiet our hearts before you this morning, and we let those ancient words refresh us and fall over our heart this morning, that we hear and receive from you your word to our heart today. And Lord, that we would be changed by your word to be the men and women of God you want us to be. We ask this prayer through Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Now, there was a boy who did not have much athletic ability. I can identify with him. And every time he and his friends would play a game, he was always the last one chosen to be picked for a team. And again, I can identify with him because that happened to me. But this isn't the boy, I'm not the person in this story, but I can identify with him. One day, two new guys came to play with them. And because they were older, they were chosen to be the captains of the teams. And so the boy who was always chosen last, on this particular day when the new captains came, he happened to be chosen first. And boy, that just encouraged him. And what a blessing that was to him. He was not expecting that. But why was he chosen first? You might ask. Because they were brothers. And his captain, his brother, loved him and chose him first. Even though he was considered weak and had no ability to contribute to the team. That is what our scripture is about this morning. As we arrive at this part of Romans, Paul has been teaching us for these last couple weeks about how we are to relate to one another within the church, particularly, especially in matters that are what the Bible calls non-essential matters of faith, where we have differing personal convictions and views and a lot of different issues that the Bible may not address. And last week we talked about those, the weaker brother and the stronger brother, and how we are to relate to one another in the midst of that. Paul today continuing to speak to the stronger brother, those who are stronger in the faith, and encouraging us not to look down on those who may be weaker in their faith, who hold a conviction different than ours, which we think they're still tied to, and they should have freedom in Christ not to be able to, and have the freedom to be able to enjoy. And those of us who are stronger in the faith, or not to despise them or to look down on them or to judge, but instead to love. Paul, continuing his instruction as we deal with this, deals with several principles, three principles we're going to discover of strength. And I'm calling them principles of strength because they apply to those who are stronger in the faith. Or as we seek to apply these principles in our life, they make us stronger in our faith. We maybe were a weak brother, but maybe transfer us maybe into a stronger brother in the faith or sister in the faith as we apply God's word and let it live out these principles of strength. For those who are stronger, that's who he's addressing. We who are strong, that's who he's addressing in these verses, the stronger brother, those who've realized that grace in Christ is sufficient and we're not bound by all those other restrictions, but God has given us freedom in him. So let's discover together three principles of strength that will help us and enable us to apply to our life, and not only just here and gain this information and truth from God's word, but to apply to our life and live it out that we can be the men and women of God he wants us to be. The first principle of strength that Paul shares with us, we discover this morning from his word, is to support those who are weak. And this doesn't seem to be working for him this morning. Support those who are weak. Look what he says in verse 1. Those who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Supporting those, I mean, he says bear with. That word, as I looked it up, means to carry or to support. Much like an older brother picks up a younger brother and carries them on his shoulders when he can't go any farther. Have you ever been where you have maybe an older or younger brother and you're taking this trip and you just can't go any farther and someone comes along beside you and helps pick you up and lighten that load? And that's what that word bear with means. And so we're to support those who are weak, which means to carry them on your shoulders. To come alongside instead of those who may be weaker in their faith, who may still have the hang-ups, in this case, of eating meat offered to idols. And Paul said, I know that that's fine. I can eat meat offered to idols. I know that the idol's nothing. But instead of looking down on them, Paul says, I'm going to come alongside them, and I'm going to lift them up. And I'm going to carry them on my shoulder, and I'm not going to despise and to support those who are weak as a younger brother in the faith in order to help them grow. Not to beat them down, but in order to help them grow and carry them along in the faith. And we talked about in Sunday school this morning how we can encourage each other to applying God's word and living out. One of the ways we talked about is coming alongside each other and helping lead each other along. And we do that to encourage each other to grow in the faith and to challenge each other to grow deeper. And that's part of what we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are called to do, to support those who are weak in order to help them grow in their faith. Maybe that they were a weaker brother, but as you come alongside them and support them and help carry them, not judge them or look down on them, but help to walk alongside. It will help them to grow in their faith as they see your walk with Christ and as they see how Christ is walking and active in your own life. Encouraging to grow and also to lighten their load, to make the load lighter and the burden that they carry. Turn with me to Galatians, and it was requested in our Discipleship and Outreach Commission that when I have cross references that I put it on the screen, which I have them on here, but for some reason it's not working today, and to put them in the notes for you so you have the references. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. And I'll wait till you get there. So follow along with me. When you have it, say amen so I know. There you go. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a sin, who is spiritual, should report, restore him gently, but watch yourself that you also be tempted. But verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And Paul says, just carry each other's burdens, to come along each side and support, to put those our younger brother, our weaker brother on our shoulder, not to despise or look down, but to carry them. And go down to verse 5. Because in verse 5, Paul says, each one should test his own actions so that he can take pride in himself without comparing. But in verse 5, each one should carry his own load. And you say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't he say we're to carry each other's burdens up in verse 2? And now in verse 5, he's telling us everybody's to carry their own load. Does Paul seem to be contradicting himself here? What is he doing? Thanks, Ralph. He's going to help me here. what's he telling us here? He said to carry our own load. What he's saying is we support each other to help them grow in the faith. And that's what he means, to get to the point where they can eventually learn as well in their walk with Christ. We come alongside them till we get to that point that they are stronger in the faith, that they won't need our assistance anymore. But carrying them on the shoulders in order to help them grow and also to lighten their load, to make that load lighter that they carry and the burden alongside them. And your references are there, Ralph. You can go to the next one. Yeah, there they are. Help to lighten that load and the burden that we carry. But also support those who are weak to put up, and he calls us to put up with their failures. Look at the last part of verse 1. He said, we who are strong ought to bear with the feelings of the weak, the failings of the weak. As a stronger brother in the faith, as one who is mature, supporting those who are weak is to put up with their failures and say, no, wait a minute. We'd say, if they failed, shouldn't. But he's saying, no, bear with them because they need to grow in Christ. Not to be quick to condemn and realize that they may have areas of where they still need to grow. Sometimes we can be quick to judge and we can be quick to say when someone's failed, let them get what they do. No, God shows grace. And aren't you thankful God showed grace to me, to you? I'll tell you, the older I get, the more thankful I am for grace because I realize how much more I need it. Because I fail a lot. We all fail a lot, don't we? None of us are perfect. And we all fail. And when we fail, we need that person to come alongside it and to be show some grace in those times. And support the weaker brother. Support them in times of failing and come along inside. Yes, I'm praying for you. Help you and learn from that and to encourage to move forward. So support those who are weak. Second principle we discover of strength is to please others and not yourself. He goes on to say here that each one of us should please his neighbor for his own good or for his good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written. The insults of those who insulted him have fallen on me. Pleasing others before we please ourselves. Now we have a tendency in human nature, from the sin nature, to want to please ourselves first. We can be very self-centered. I can attest to that. And we want to think of ourselves first and our own needs. And Paul says, no, think of the weaker brother. And as he's translating this into the church, the whole issue was the disagreement over the eating meat offered to idols and the observance of special days. And this is still in the context of that. And Paul says, think of the other brother first. And don't think of yourself. And we talked last week about the importance if a brother or sister is offended by something that we think is okay, that in their presence we should not do it because we want to think of them before we think of ourselves. Pleasing others before we please God or ourselves. That means to put others first. To put them before ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, if you want to turn with me there, Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, and he was dealing with this issue, and this was all in the whole context of the eating food offered to idols discussion. And he ended it by saying, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. But verse 33, and I hear the pages turning, that's good. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul said he lived his life putting others first. And Paul, he told us back in verse 2, for the good of them, to build them up, to encourage them over ourselves. So he said, I try to please everybody in every way for their good, not for my own. Now turn with me again to Galatians chapter 1. And here Paul saying, and again seems to be contradicting himself. But he said, even now as I am I trying to win the approval of men or of God, verse 10, if I am trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so here again seems to say, what's he saying? One minute he says, I'm seeking to please others. Now he said, but if I please others, I'm not pleasing God. What's he telling us? He's telling us that we please God by seeking to put others first. Not pleasing in the case of Galatians, he was talking about false doctrine. He was talking about those who were teaching a doctrine that was a gospel that was not true. And he said, We want to accommodate that false teaching because we don't want to offend anybody. That's what he's talking about. No, we don't ever compromise false doctrine. But he's talking about in the case of these indisputable matters, of putting others before ourselves and thinking of them over ourselves. Putting others over yourself, putting them first, but secondly, and also to build up and not tear down. In verse 2, if we go back to Romans, he says to us, each one of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. As believers in Christ, we should seek to build others up in the faith and not tear them down, and not tear down a weaker brother that may have a differing view than we do, or may think things differently than we do on the issues the Bible doesn't address, and not tear them down for that, but to seek to build each other up and encourage each other, especially when it comes to the weaker brother and personal convictions that the Bible doesn't address. That's what he's talking about here. Because see, friends, we are all either in the construction business or the demolition business. We can either all build each other up in the faith, or we can tear each other down. And James said it shouldn't be that way, that we can come to church one day and we can worship together, and we can go out of church and we can tear people down that we worshiped with. And he said it shouldn't be that way. We either were to build up in the faith and not tear each other down. And that's the unity of the Spirit. That's the principle of strength. Then we see that it's not about us. It's about the other person. It's not about what I think, but it's about the other person's. Often we come to church sometimes thinking, what can I get out of it? But that's the wrong attitude. It's not what I can get out of it. It's what we can give and focus towards the other person and towards God himself. And please others who not yourself, because we need to be willing to take reproach in doing that. Verse 3, as we go back to chapter 15, Paul says, look at the example of Jesus. For he said, even Jesus didn't please himself. As it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. That word insults, as I looked it up this week, it means reproach. And it means that Jesus was willing to take reproach and insults and scorn upon himself, not because he was thinking of us, not himself. And he was willing to go to the cross and to take all that scorn and reproach cast on him, because his thoughts were on us, not on him. And Paul's using him as an example of the weaker brother, and not despise, but not to look down on, but to be willing to put them before ourselves. And turn with me to Psalm chapter 69, verse 9. And Paul is quoting this here when he says, as it is written. That takes us back to Psalm chapter 69, verse 9, where he is quoting this Psalm 69, which is a messianic psalm. It was a psalm that referred to Jesus. As David was writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit, it was reflecting on how Jesus would be and the Messiah. So David was talking about the scorns that he was enduring and what he was going through personally, but ultimately it was talking about what Jesus himself would endure. But in verse 9, he says, for zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. That was applied to Jesus, and Paul and David was talking about Jesus there ultimately. And Paul was quoting that here. That being willing, Jesus was willing to take that because he thought of us first. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2, 21 to 22, Peter writing, and says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered an example for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth, but when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate, and when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And he said that we should have that same kind of attitude, being willing to bear reproach if need be, understanding because we put the other person before ourselves. So support those who are weak, place others before yourself, And the third principle of strength for those who are strong in the faith to grow stronger is to take God's word to heart. Take God's word to heart as he speaks to us. Those ancient words continue to be declared as we read it and as we apply it to our word. Look at verse 4. Paul says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, you might have hope." Taking the word of God to heart, and he said, God gave his word for a purpose. His love letter to you and me, so that we would know him better. And if we take that word to our heart, means to not just hear it, but to receive it. In Sunday school, we talked about receiving it gladly, the word of God humbly receive and taking it to our heart and taking it into ourself and letting it internalize and change us into the men and women of God he wants us to be. Because see, through God's word, and take it to heart, because it speaks to us emphatically, meaning personally, meaning directly. And when we receive the word of God, he directly speaks to us in a personal way into the very most core, inner core of our being, because he knows us well. And as your father, when you approach his word, which is his love letter and personal communication to you, and you open your heart to him, he is able to speak personally to those needs that he knows are aware in your heart. I've had people tell me, they said, on Sunday mornings, they said, sometimes you must have like a fly on the wall in your house or in my house or something, because I come on Sunday morning, and when you preach a sermon, it's exactly what I needed to hear or what I was going through that week. And that's not me, that's God. And that's his word that has the ability to do that. That's the beauty of it, that it speaks right to our heart's need. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, and you've heard these words before, but God's word and the emphatic power and personal nature of it says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman of God, the person of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All of God's word is inspired for that purpose, to train us, to instruct us, to teach us, to emphatically speak to our heart in a personal way. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, he says this, the word of God, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart, and nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him for whom we must give account." He said the word of God is so emphatic in his personal speaking to us, it's able to divide joints from marrow, the most intricate parts. It penetrates deep into us. So take it to heart, and when he speaks to you and he brings words of encouragement or correction, receive it gladly, because he's emphatically speaking in a personal way, with his authority behind him and the authority of his word. But second, take his heart, because it shows us examples. It shows us examples to follow in our life, things to avoid or things to emulate. And all the many examples of people given in scripture are there for us to follow the examples of, so we can learn from them or as not fall into what they had done. He says here, in Romans chapter 15 again, he says, "For everything written in the past was written to teach us, was written to encourage us, to be an example." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul, writing to the church there, beginning in verse 1, says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, in fact, about our forefathers under the cloud, for they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses and into the cloud and in the sea, and they all drank the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank from that same spiritual rock that accompanied them, that is Christ." Paul's talking here about the nation of Israel going through the wilderness and the Red Sea. He said, "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the desert. He used them as an story. Then he said, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our heart on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, or some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up and to indulge in pagan revelry. And we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. He's talking, using the whole example of what happened through the wilderness. He said, these are all examples for us. He said, verse 11, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So take God's word to heart, and as you read it, and the examples that are there, the stories that are in the scripture are there for us to learn from as examples of men and women of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, of great examples of men and women to follow or to learn from and to apply to our life, to grow in our relationship with Christ. Third, take God's word to heart because it provides us encouragement. Back to chapter 15, verse 4, Paul says, these things were written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement you might have hope. That we have encouragement. The word of God gives us the encouragement we need, that when we're down, we're having a rough and difficult day, the word of God is that source of encouragement to us to be able to continue to go forward and continue to run the race. Continue to keep our eyes pressed on Jesus and persevere. And it also gives us endurance, that through both endurance and encouragement that the scriptures provide, we have hope. Hope that we need, and it's what we need in the world today, is hope. And we find that through the scripture itself as we take it to heart and apply it and let it change us. Paul, James said, don't just be hearers of the word. Don't just gain knowledge. Don't just gain understanding. But be doers as well. Apply it to your life and let it get deep into you and change us from the inside out. Those ancient words, that we become the men and women of God. Support those who are weak. Don't look down on them, but come alongside and encourage them to grow and come to that place in their faith where they're stronger. Place others before yourself. Don't look, insist on having your way first, or that the weaker brother has to think like you do, but put them before yourself and take God's word to heart and apply it to your life and live it out and let it change us from within. And in doing that, that's the principles of the stronger brother, but in doing that, that makes us all stronger in our faith as we grow and become more like him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which is true. Your word which builds us up and makes us strong. Today your word speaking mostly to those who were stronger in the faith, but encouraging us not to look down on the weaker, but to support them and to come alongside those who may have convictions different than ours, and we may think that are stupid or they have room that they need to grow, and we want to despise them on that, but no, we need to come alongside and encourage those who are weaker in the faith. To encourage them to go forward and to go stronger and deeper in their journey with you. And Lord, to seek to please others and not ourselves. And when others have differing convictions and opinions than we do, to put theirs before ourselves and not insist that it has to be, that they have to do what we want. And Lord, may we take your word to heart. That when you speak to us and the examples and the teaching and guidance that is given there is for our good, that we may have hope, that we may be encouraged and strengthened and equipped to be the men and women of God you want us to be, to grow in our faith, to grow stronger in you. So may we not cast your word aside, but gladly receive it, gladly take it to heart, and when you speak to us, to respond in obedience, and applying it to our life to live out your will and your way in and through us by your Spirit as we yield to you daily. So thank you for the practical teaching of your word, for your presence with us this morning, for the privilege to worship together. And Lord, may we apply your word to our life and live out all growing stronger in you as we walk with you daily. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.